There's also a hiking mission trip in France and Spain. They got Catholic Trail that I want to do. The Emilio Estevez and Charlie Sheen did a movie about it.
Oh, really?
It's like a Catholic missionary trail. So I wouldn't mind doing that as well. Not everyone makes it. And you can do like just logs of it or, stations of it.
Is it high altitude? Why is it so hard? How come some people don't make it?
The French part is high altitude, and then it gets down into Spain where it's like nice and warm. I think the first part is the difficult part.
Hello, this is Lance Farrell with Life at Level 10, where you get inspired to live your best life. I have a very special guest on my podcast today by the name of Jason. Jason, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thank you for having me today.
Absolutely. So tell us who you are. Tell us a bit more about who is Jason Mortensen.
I'm a 46-year-old guy, married, a couple kids. I'm a Iraq veteran. I work in construction management. I've always been a big guy playing athletics in high school. And, after I got home from the Army, I traveled extensively for my job. And I just, ate the fast food, stopped working out, and just put all the poundage on. And then, part of that was mental, part of that was physical, circumstantial. And after COVID, I kind of just wanted to make that change. And get my health back. I was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. I had high blood pressure. I couldn't walk anywhere, even to the mailbox without like being out of breath. And it just wasn't a good situation. So.
Wow. Yeah. So how did you discover Farrell's Extreme Body Shaping?
I'd say I drove by it probably a billion times every day. And then one of my friends from high school and in my past career in law enforcement went to Farrell's, and I said, hey, we're thinking about this. And then my wife said, no, we're doing this. So I reached out to my friend and said, what do you think? And she said it was the best thing she's ever done. So my wife and I just walked in and signed up, didn't do any free trials or anything. We just went and signed up cold turkey, right?
So it's your wife's fault.
It is my wife's fault. Yeah. So my wife said, we're doing this. So we went in and started doing it, and I fell in love with it, and she fell in love with it too. We do it every day together.
Did she have a massive transformation like you, or was she already in good shape?
No, she was heavy set as well and a little bit out of shape. So, she was also postmenopausal. So she's a little older than I am. She lost about 45, 50 pounds during this 1 year challenge. So it was also really good for her as well.
Fantastic.
Right? Yeah. And she has, women have a harder time. And especially at that age bracket, it's a little more difficult as well. So, there is more times where she was more frustrated because of my successes. But she just kept plugging away and pushing and to this day, we keep going together. I call it family therapy sometimes.
Yeah.
Cause if we're upset, we're kicking the bag during sparring sessions. But we go every day. It's like a date every day.
Very healthy day. Instead of going out to eat, man, you're going to sweat. I love it.
It's fun and we look forward to it. And, it has brought us closer together too.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, there's an old saying, families that kick together, stick together.
Oh, I like that.
So how many pounds did you lose? I know it's not about the pounds. It's about the body fat. Cause you put muscle on too with the InBody machine. We can see exactly what happens along the way, but how many pounds did you take off?
Overall, I lost like 101 pounds.
Okay.
And I think my muscle was it? My muscle mass probably stayed the same or really close, because mm-hmm. I started off at around just a hair under 380.
Mm-hmm.
So I was already carrying a lot of muscle to hold that much weight up.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was losing the fat weight, my muscle kind of stayed the same, but it was being mm-hmm. transitioned into functional muscle.
Exactly. You know, typically when people do a weight loss program at a weight center, when they go on a calorie restricted diet, they're not focusing on the muscles like we do in the program. They lose a lot of muscle mass. That's a common thing. And they warn people about that. Well, you know, you're going to lose 50 pounds, probably 10 of that's going to be muscle. Well, that's horrible, because as you know, that's your fat burning machine. You got to work those muscles so they keep working for you.
Yeah. You know, and luckily with the program, I was able to keep my muscle with the strength training. Mm-hmm. And that was important to me, you know, because I had played a lot of high school and a year of college football. And then being in the Army, I knew that muscle mass is important. So being able to lose the weight and keep that muscle mass to keep burning all that energy was important to me.
Yeah. So, you know, when you start a program, you're back there at around 380 pounds. And so it's not necessarily easy to come in and do a round kick on a bag or do the stuff that we do when you're carrying that much extra weight. Did you have any struggles in those areas? And if you did, how'd you get through them?
I had some struggles because, I mean, you're carrying, you know, you're carrying not a watermelon, but like a beach ball in front of you. Right. Mm-hmm. So just the mobility was a little more difficult, but the program teaches you form, power, speed. So I just stayed with form and then power, and speed will come, right? Mm-hmm. And they come in that succession.
Mm-hmm.
And I was lucky that I had good coaches, and we have really good instructors up here at Albertville. So with the coaches and instructors, one, keeping it fun, keeping it form focused and power focused, I never felt like I had to do 10,000 round kicks, right? I just had to do 5 good ones,
mm-hmm.
and it would come, and mm-hmm. I'll get better each day, which is really, it was nice, right? It's kind of like anything, quality over quantity.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I like breaking it down to the simple form, power, speed in that order, because that's really nails it. That's really how to become good at it. People typically will go too fast at first, and then their form is horrible, you know?
Yeah, and that's how you get injuries.
Yeah.
And then that's a setback you just don't want. And I was very concerned because I had some injuries in like I said, in my earlier days. So I know an injury can set you back. So I was more cautious because of the condition I was in, not mm-hmm. to get an injury. So I didn't set myself up for a setback.
Mm-hmm.
So that was also modifications. The instructors gave me on a lot of modifications early on too, with some of the mm-hmm. strength training, to ensure that I could, continue through the program.
Be injury free. Yeah.
Correct. And that really helped.
Yeah. So Jason, tell me, if you can remember one of like an aha moment in class, or when you're doing, you're working out and you're like, I couldn't do this before, but now I can do this. Where I was like, you saw that gain.
I would say, surrenders. probably even through my 10 week, I was like, okay, surrenders. Those aren't me.
For people that don't work out, that don't know what a surrender is, to explain what a surrender is.
A surrender is you have your hands on your head, interlaced. And then you get down on, say, your right knee, and then your left knee. So you're on your knees, and then you stand up on your right knee.
Get up, sit down, or yep. knees up, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
And you do that, you know, for 5 or 10 repetitions, whatever that set calls for. And I just couldn't do it through the 10 week, right? And then mm-hmm. As I got into my second 10 week, I'm like, okay, I'm going to try it, like really try it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, I can do that.
That's right? So cool.
Yeah. So I was like, I did it. I don't like them, but I can do it. So
yeah, that's fantastic. So how about in outside of Farrell's a win that you remember that you couldn't do before?
Well, when, you know, we start with the 1 mile walk, you know, during the 10 week. And I said I could barely make it to the, you know, to my mailbox. I walked my 10 week 1 mile and I finished it in like 18, 19 minutes. And I ended up walking it with another member that is an instructor now. And she was super instrumental that first day, even being at Farrell's. And now I ended up running a bunch of 5Ks last summer and ran 2 half marathons.
Wow.
So outside of Farrell's, I think those were, you know, non-scale victories and non, you know, I wouldn't say they're not directly related, but they're outside Farrell's victories. So
tell me more about the friend that was instrumental in helping you. Why was she instrumental?
Well, because she sat and walked with me all the way through that first mile when everyone is running, right? They're all trying to get their best time. And I just, I wasn't running, right? And she had already finished her 10 weeks and she was just coaching, not my coach, but somebody else's coach. And she just walked and talked with me and told me, kind of told me her story. And, and I was like, cool, right? And then she was doing the 1 year program, in 2022. And then she became an instructor at our, facility. And she's just always been, you know, from that first day, it was like, you can do this, you know, and just became a friend. So, that, you know, just hearing her story and being that support, not leaving me behind, you know, on that first day was instrumental.
Well, that's what I think is so cool about it. People have the experience, they get transformed. She was in the 1 year challenge and I became an instructor, but she had a heart for you because she could relate to where you were. And so she was sharing her story to inspire you to stay with it. And who knows, maybe it would have been tough for you because there are tough days where you don't feel like coming in. And somebody like that can help carry you through it, lift you up. And, you know, it's just, it feels like a big family, doesn't it?
Yeah. And I think that's the community is what does it. And you know, I'm pretty active on social media, but, and I always say it's the community at Farrell's that really makes the difference. Because we're kind of a family, you know, the struggle bus is going to come and get you. And some days you just got to get in and we're going to pull you off the struggle bus and you're going to be there and you're going to have a bad day, but we're there to pick you up. You know, a lot of times if someone's family member passes away, we're there to kind of circle the wagons around you and support you. Your kid does well in school. We're all there to congratulate you. It's really a social community focused on life's healthy lifestyle.
Yeah. And you know, you said struggle bus. You just, I think of these sayings all the time, you know, either are going to go through a struggle. You're going through one now. Or you just got through having one. You know, that's the way struggles are.
Yeah. And they make you stronger because, you know, if you don't want to get up, okay, there's that's fine. But then you got to go to the night class. You know, but those struggles, we all go through them. We all have our demons. And you just either you got to face them or you got to you're going to suffer it no matter what. And the community makes you stronger.
Yeah. Tell me what else you feel like you've gained by losing that 101 pounds. What have you gained outside of the exercise arena? Can you think of anything else?
Oh, yeah. During that same time of going through the this process, you know, it's an extreme body challenge. And so I also took it an opportunity to work on my like emotional IQ and some items like that. So like, I guess, how do I want to say this is, I worked on, you know, using my physical exercise to work on my mental activities. So I feel like I'm, calmer. I'm working, I'm more well-rounded, in a emotional state. I've worked, I guess I go back to that emotional IQ. That's a kind of a popular buzzword right now. Some of those business skills I didn't have earlier in my career. So I used the mental strength I had for the physical challenge and learned to apply that to the mental states as well.
Yeah, your body controls, your mind controls your body. I've said it the other way. Your mind controls your body. So what you put in your mind, how you think, how you process stuff, and what you believe is going to come in the future is actually what's going to come in the future. You know, I find it so interesting because people see the superficial parts of Feral's Extreme Bodysaving. They see, okay, you guys do kickboxing, you do strength training, and you have nutrition, and someone holds you accountable. Yeah, that's what it is. But one other component that they can't see, they don't know until they get in there, is the people like your friend and the leaders at Albertville, they instill faith in you so you know you can do it. So if you follow this system, there's no question you're going to have great results. All you do is follow the system, and that's it. And it's hard because it's hard to change habits. But if you can do that, and that's why we have accountability people like your coach, that's what makes it work. So you have to go in believing. And you know, before a boxing match or wrestling or a one-on-one combat, whatever it is, UFC, the match is won before you step in there. It's won or lost. Whether you think you're going to win or lose, you're going to do it, whichever one it is. And that's not always 100%, but it has a lot to do with it.
Exactly. And I kind of go back to what my old high school coaches would say is that, you know, football is 90% mental, 10% physical. It all goes back into your mental preparation of things. And that's kind of what I wanted to re-hone on is I was working on the physical and I wanted to hone in on my mental. So I read a lot of books, that would do that, you know, you know, like Atomic Habits and things like that, you know, to help me sharpen my mental extreme body to help me better my physical, you know. So they complemented each other.
Mm-hmm. So for people new to our system, they don't know, tell us about your nutrition. What do you consume on a regular basis?
So I try to get as much protein as possible in. Mm-hmm. And for me, being a type 2 diabetic, I found that carbs were, they weren't bad, but I cut out all processed sugars. Mm-hmm. So anything that basically said total or added sugars. So anything that cut out a lot of processed foods. Mm-hmm. So between those two items, I increase my protein. So I eat a lot of steak, chicken, pork. But it's all clean, you know, it's not a prepackaged, it's not breaded. It's all grilled or smoked on my Traeger. You know, if I have a carb, it's usually a fruit, not a dried fruit, but a fruit, and then it's organic state, basically, right? Mm-hmm. And then I have fats such as like, you know, guac and healthy fats, because those are the things that my body works with, and that doesn't trigger my type 2 diabetes, which during this process, I was able to get under control without medication. So I'm no longer like on any type 2 diabetes medicine, any hypertension medicine. I'm off of all of that now because of this program.
Wow, that's great to hear. Yeah, so we always say portion size too is important. I just want to add that in there. Yes. So we say protein the size of your palm, carbs the size of your fist, green vegetables, and then lots of water, you know?
Yep. So
I'm sure
120 ounces a day. Well, I was just going to say, I got my Stanley cup here.
Got your Stanley.
Yeah, I have 40 ounces in the, 40 in the morning, 40 in the afternoon, and 40 at workout.
Perfect.
So, yeah.
What do your workouts look like these days? Still doing kickboxing 3 days a week, strength training 3 days a week?
I had a little injury between Thanksgiving and the 1st of February here, but I just started running again, and then I never missed a class during that period. I just did modifications. Mm-hmm. But then I just started running again because I'm trying to train for a full marathon.
Mm. That's so pretty amazing.
Not trying. I am training.
to struggle for a mile, 17 or 18 minutes in a mile, and now you're looking for a full marathon. That's amazing. Totally amazing.
Yeah, I'm excited. I signed up for Grandma's up in Duluth.
Uh-huh.
So, I'll be there. So
I love it. So what advice would you give somebody that's just getting started in Ferrell's?
Do it. And then just make the commitment of pushing the door open every morning and coming. That's the hardest part I tell people, is just getting in the club. Once you're there, your people are there, your music's there. Everything else takes care of itself.
Mm-hmm.
That is honestly, I think, the hardest part. And then come with an open mind. You know, you may not like punching the bag at first, but eventually you're going to become coordinated. And if you follow and engage all of that, what they're teaching, you're going to love it.
You'll have success. Yeah.
Yep.
So what are your goals now, Jason?
Well, one, my goal is to finish that marathon.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably won't do another one. I've always wanted the bucket list of running a marathon, and then I'll go back to, like, you know, maybe 10Ks,
mm-hmm.
Just to stay healthy. Mm-hmm. I'd probably like to lose, you know, get down to around the 250 mark. The blessing I had is that I was almost at 380 and I lost 100 pounds, and I'm at where a lot of people start their weight loss.
Mm-hmm.
So, so I kind of wouldn't mind losing some more poundage just to get that down, right? A little bit more. But it's a blessing anyways. So, I'd like to keep my running up, you know, 3-4 times a week as a goal. Eventually I wouldn't mind becoming an instructor at Ferrell's. I'm coaching the 1 year right now. I just want to be able to be healthy and keep my diabetes under control and keep using this as a healthy lifestyle.
Awesome. Yeah, Jason, we haven't met, so I don't know how tall you are. How tall are you?
6'1".
Okay. So, yeah, 280 might be, but you look like you have really broad shoulders looking at you on the Zoom. So I think you probably carry that really well. In fact, I saw your before, after, and your after photo for your 12 months, and you really do have a good frame. You could be like a power lifter or bodybuilder, I think.
Yeah, I've thought about that too.
You know, you have a good leader in Sam for the bodybuilding thing, don't you?
Yeah. It's just that is a lot of time, and I travel a lot now. Yeah. Again,
it's a big commitment. She'll tell you that too.
Yeah. And, it is a big commitment. And like, as I said, I travel about 50% of the time right now. So, I just don't know if I would have that much time to put into it.
Yeah. So, you'd have to be not traveling quite so much and really plan it out. But yeah, to me, it's always setting that BHAG, that big, hairy, audacious goal out there that is just really wild. Like, man, I'm going to do this. And then when you put your head down and just start moving forward, things can happen. And, you know, my theory is shoot for the stars, you might land on the moon. So maybe, you know, you train for that. If you think you can make it work and then it doesn't happen, look what happens to you in the process. It's always the journey that has the impact on you, not necessarily the event.
Oh, true.
And you know that. So let's do some level 10 speed questions just for fun. What's your favorite food?
Steak.
I can enjoy that too. Food you would never eat.
Yeah. Collard greens.
Favorite exercise? Don't say serenity. Oh,
no, chest press.
Ah. Most despised exercise?
Oh, burpees.
We're on the same page there. What's your favorite non-FXB physical activity?
Say that. Oh, my favorite?
Non-FXB physical activity, like hiking or whatever, like something like that.
I would say running.
Wow, that's about a 180 for you then.
Yeah. I ran a lot in the Army, so what I always find that is my mental health time.
So I know you're going to end up doing a marathon. What else is on your bucket list? Something you'd like to experience in life?
health wise. I'd maybe like to do like a biking road race.
Okay.
You know, like the Iowa one, they have that one across the state.
Yeah. I did Rag Ride 2 years ago.
One of my teachers in high school used to do it all the time.
I'll tell you what, Rag Ride is a great thing. And it's not about the bike. And the funny thing is, that's Lance Armstrong's book he wrote. It's called Not About the Bike. Great book. But he did Rag Ride a couple times anyway. And it's about seeing Iowa. Iowa is a beautiful state. And you stop all these little towns, you meet all these people, and every church in the town is selling pies and ice cream or something. And by the time you bike between 50 to 100 miles in a day, you know, I think you can pretty much eat whatever you want. I mean, I never say that. I always say you can't outrun your fork. But when you're biking like that, it's and it's July in Iowa, it's hot, so you're sweating. And sometimes the wind is not favorable. It might be blowing in your face. So it makes those miles much longer. And there's hills. Some of the routes have flatter street or roads, and some have really big hills. People say, oh, Iowa's flat. It's a flyover state. Look down there, it's completely flat. Yeah, try Rag Ride and tell me it's flat. And that's actually how it started. The guys that started Rag Ride, the guy from Iowa, from the Des Moines Register, was talking to a guy in New York, and they were having this debate, and he's just saying, Iowa's flat. He said, well, let's ride our bikes across, and you tell me how flat it is. So that's how Rag Ride started, like 61 years ago now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, that is pretty cool. I didn't know it was that old, and that's how it started.
Yep.
Wow. There's also a hiking mission trip in France and Spain. They got a Catholic trail that I want to do. The Emilio Estevez and Charlie Sheen did a movie about it.
Oh, really?
It's like a Catholic missionary trail. So I wouldn't mind doing that as well. Not everyone makes it. And you can do like just logs of it or stations of it.
Is it high altitude? Why is it so hard? How come some people don't make it?
The French part is high altitude, and then it gets down into Spain where it's like nice and warm. I think the first part is the difficult part.
Because I challenged myself. I told you I did Rag Ride a couple years ago. When I turned 50, I did the entire Rag Ride. When I turned 60, which was 2 years ago, come April, I did the entire Rag Ride. And then before that, though, I climbed Kilimanjaro. So that was when I was turning 60. Yeah. So altitude sickness is a real deal. There was a guy from Denmark that was coming up. He was young. He was like 24 years old. He was in great shape. He had like 4% body fat. He went too fast one day. He was up there with his brother, and his brother was telling us he was in a tent just puking every half hour. And so they had to take him off the mountain, because if you don't take care of altitude sickness right away, you'll die. It's a real deal.
Well, I think him being young probably caused that. You know, he doesn't have that young patience that
his ego caused it. Yeah, he's going to go fast, run up a part of it, and that's not a smart move.
Nope.
I running across people from all over the world. It was really kind of fun doing that, just meeting people. It was hard, by the way, but this one marathon runner, she'd done a ton of marathons. She said, this is the hardest I've ever worked moving so slow.
Really?
Yeah. Because you're not going fast. You're just hiking. And there's some parts, one day, I think it was about the third day on the trail we were on, where you got your arms out and you're hugging the mountain, and, you know, just shuffling across. And you look down there, and yeah, if you go backwards, you're done. So there's some of that where we crawled up rocks and stuff. But and the last day, I don't want to get off on, I'm off on a tangent here, but the last day when you summit the mountain, you're getting up at midnight and you're going up, and it's so cold because there's no trees and the wind's blowing. I had this water pack on my back, and then the hose come around the front so I could drink water. So when you stop to take a drink, you have to stop, take several breaths, and then take a little sip, and then take several breaths again, because the oxygen is so thin, just to put it in perspective. You can't just drink water and like normal. You have to breathe all the time. So that hose on my water thing actually froze, but luckily I figured that might happen, so I had another water bottle inside my coat keeping it warm.
Good planning.
Yeah. Now the guides, that we had a great guide that had done Kilimanjaro like 400 times, so he was really good and professional. But Yeah, so we got done. I said, I'm never doing this again. This kicked my butt. And then the next day, a couple of the dads were there and stuff. And I, you know, were saying, well, if our sons say they want to do Kilimanjaro, we'll take our sons up it because it's a bonding experience. I really bonded with the guys I'd never met before going up the mountain. So that was a good thing. So well, yeah, you have me intrigued by this Spain trail.
Yeah.
What's it called again?
You know, I don't know, but I can, I'll Google it and I'll text it to you.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm very curious because that sounds like fun.
We could do an FXB trip out there.
Yeah, we could.
Yeah. It'd be fun.
Oh yeah. We've done Ferrells by the Sea where we go to someplace in the ocean like Cabo or Cancun or someplace, Dominican, Jamaica. We've been all those places and we do kickboxing on the beach.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. It's harder than you think kicking in the sand till you do it. It's a challenge, but we blend in strength training. We do some self-defense stuff with it and it's whole deal. So we'll probably resurrect that at some point. You know, during COVID we had to shut it off, but
yeah.
Yeah.
I was a construction manager at Lifetime then.
Mm.
So I kind of understood about all the everything closing in mm-hmm. the fitness industry back mm-hmm. in the COVID days.
And in hindsight, you look back and they should have been telling people get to the gym instead of don't go, you know?
Exactly. Right.
So is there anything
else?
Get
healthy.
Yeah. Anything else that I missed you want to talk about?
No, you know, I just, you know, for me, I want to thank my wife and all the members at Albertville. They're the wonderful group that got me in and kept me going. So, they're wonderful. So, and this great program that you've developed and put together.
Well, Jason, I can't thank you enough for embracing it and doing the work because you're the one that deserves the credit. You did all the work. You made it happen. You're on a great trajectory. Good luck making it to 250 pounds. You're going to feel better then than you do now, I'm sure, because that's how it works. And you're going to be running marathons, probably more than one, knowing you with the way you set your goals. And thank you for your service, by the way, in Iraq. That's a huge deal. And man, take care of those kids and your wife.
Well, thank you. And I appreciate your time.
And until next time, this is Lance Farrell with Life at Level 10. Please be sure to like it and subscribe if you'd like to hear more episodes.